Ladies and gentlemen, we have it on good authority. Senator John McCain, appearing today on Meet the Press, said, quote, "We have to have humor," unquote. He was saying that to explain why he'd called some people at the White House jerks. It was humor. You're laughing already, aren't you? We have to have humor. I'll get back to that in a moment. But first, he could have been our vice president, Joe Lieberman. He was on Meet the Press, too. And he said this, apropos of finding out about the intelligence lapses that apparently underlay the events of September 11th. Quote, quoting Joe Lieberman, ladies and gentlemen, who could have been our vice president, quote, "We need a new Warren Commission. We need the truth." He wasn't saying or. He was conjoining those as a putative sequitur, if you will. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here with you. "We need a new Warren Commission. We need the truth." Joe Lieberman said that. It's possible to say those words aloud with a straight face. Everything really has changed. They're right. We learned this week, ladies and gentlemen, of the wisdom of the American system. You know, the founders, they had a genius, and we ignored at our peril. We disregarded at our peril. Other countries have, you know, only one house of a legislature. Even Nebraska only has a unicameral legislature. But we learned this week the genius of a bicameral legislature, a two-house, for those of you who aren't paying too much attention in social studies class, a bicameral legislature, because this week when an anthrax-tainted letter was found in the office of Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, the House of Representatives closed up shop and headed for anywhere else. And the Senate remained in session. Now, those whose job it is to traffic in argument have spent the rest of the week teasing out implications that senators were being derisive of representatives, or representatives were being resentful of senators for making them look bad enough that the New York Post called the House of Representatives wimps. But this is the genius of the system, ladies and gentlemen. Each house catered to a different constituency. The Senate, if you wanted machismo, you had the Senate. If you wanted prudence or wimpishness, you had the House. That's the genius, you see, of our system. Now, speaking of the necessity for humor, many stations around the country that usually carry this broadcast have not done so in weeks past. But the champion in having not done so would be WHYY in Philadelphia, which has preempted this broadcast for the last 3 weeks running, including last week when we were preempted not for breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, but for selected shorts. Now, I selected some shorts for WHYY, and I have them right here. You see these shorts, folks? They've been selected. So for those of you around the country for whom this broadcast has been inaudible the last few weeks, I'm making this offer. Email me, lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Include your mailing address, and I will mail you free of charge, gratis, a CD of called Everything Has Changed, including highlights of what we've been doing here on the broadcast. You don't have to pledge, but you don't have to unpledge either. I'm being fair. I'm being more than fair. I'm being so fair, ladies and gentlemen, that despite the presence of Bon Jovi, Adam Sandler, and Billy Crystal on the telethon last night, for public consumption at least, I still love New York. Hello, welcome to the show. The following song is being played for ironic purposes only.
To find an answer on the road, Philadelphia.
On the other hand, for all I know, I'm still gone. I have no idea whether this broadcast is being heard today in Philadelphia, but if so, hello, Philadelphia, and hello around the world. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you from the edge of America to yet another edition of Le Show. In this new era where everything has changed. Journalists and researchers who rely on the Freedom of Information Act to ferret out documents from government agencies soon will have a harder task, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to whatever's going on now, the Justice Department has released new Freedom of Information Act guidelines that tell federal agencies to stay as mum as possible. Gee, these earphones suck. That's not in the story. That's just me talking to you like a person. According to the guidelines sent by the Justice Department, headed by John Ashcroft, to federal agencies, the government should withhold information whenever there is a, quote, sound legal basis for doing so. And of course, quote, unquote. And of course, as we all know, there's a sound legal basis for doing anything. Really. If you've got good lawyers. And it's the Justice Department. That's all they've got. Well, they've got lawyers. Here's a good quote. You want relevance when it's appropriate. That's almost as good as Joe Lieberman's quote about the Warren Commission. You want relevance when it's appropriate. Who said that? Hands? Anybody in the class? Leslie Moonves, head of CBS. He has, he's considering a pilot for a comedy series, a sitcom. Did I mention this last week? I'm not sure. You know, when I cross time zones, all memory is wiped. A comedy series whose plot arises out of the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. The proposed CBS comedy, whose creator Moonves declined to identify. Ooh. Usually people want the credit for good work. It was originally conceived before September 11th as a middle-aged romance. Afterward, after September 11th, the writer suggested that they, quote, heighten the stakes, unquote. That's Hollywood talk, ladies and gentlemen, for put it someplace where people have heard about it. Heighten the stakes. Heighten the stakes. And have it revolve around a widow and widower lady and a widower brought together after losing spouses in the World Trade Center bombing. Yeah, that heightens the stakes. Heightens the stakes and the chops. The network has yet to commit to a pilot episode and wouldn't tape a prototype until the spring, according to Moonves, so circumstances of their meeting could easily be changed. The network isn't trying to exploit the tragedy, says Moonves, but rather respond to the touching personal stories that have come out. When appropriate, he says, we shouldn't run away from it. You want relevance when it's appropriate. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I love it, and I don't know why. Well, it's like all love, isn't it? You want relevance when it's appropriate. I'm not even gonna. So, ladies and gentlemen, whoever is spreading whatever is having an early victory in the profusion of fear. Although, you know, the Senate stayed in session. But Northwest Airlines. Now, see, this is where good can come from evil. This is where the evildoers can help us out. Northwest Airlines has pulled artificial sweeteners and powdered coffee creamer from all flights. Now, this stuff kills you anyway, and it probably kills more people than anthrax. Amid concerns about white powder found on two flights, Northwest Airlines removed packets of the powdery substances this week to prevent delays and ease fears, according to spokesman Kurt Ebenhock. On Monday, passengers were detained on a jet in Detroit for more than an hour after food crumbs were found. They were identified as a white powdery substance. Also Monday, a substance was found on top of baggage that was being removed from a jet in Burlington, Vermont. Tests are pending. Officials said it was unlikely the substance was anthrax. As a precaution, officials recommended antibiotics for passengers and crew. That's good. Sugar and salt are still available on Northwest Airlines because their crystals are more easily identifiable. Passengers can still bring their own sweeteners or powdered creamers aboard, although Ebenhock says the airline prefers they not do so. you don't want to, you know the comparative death figures for traffic, smoking, you know all that. On a related subject, however, Delta is going Northwest one better. Delta will no longer serve food. That's what they call it. That's what they've been calling it. They're no longer going to serve it. Now, my theory before I saw this story was the first airline that goes on the air and says, ladies and gentlemen, or even forget the ladies and gentlemen, that takes a second, the time is valuable, we're not going to serve food, we're not going to show you movies, we're going to take the money, because those things do cost money, and harden the cockpit doors. Wouldn't everybody in the world want to fly that airline? You know, the movies look like crap. The food tastes like the movies. Look, it's money wasted. Why not spend that money on hardening the cockpit? That would be everyone's airline of choice. Anyway, Delta is doing the one but not the other. They're not going to serve food, but the money is going somewhere else. Beginning November 1st, still a few days to eat Delta food. Beginning November 1st, Delta said it would no longer serve, quote, food, unquote, on flights in the continental United States of less than 1,750 miles, or 4 hours in the economy cabin, and on flights of less than 700 miles in first class. Customers will continue to receive beverage service, says a Delta spokesman, Catherine Garrick. No, sorry, she's director of product development. They develop products at Delta. They used to fly airplanes, now they develop products, I guess. We regret that the current circumstances make these changes necessary, and we hope to restore these service elements at some time in the future. Delta will continue to offer meal service on most international flights, it says. Pity the people. Well, I pity. Take the money and strengthen the cockpit doors. Okay, Delta? Would you do that for me? Yeah, right. They're listening to me. If they are, I can get a free CD for the last 4 weeks. Baboons are capable of performing complex tasks that involve abstract reasoning, a mental ability that only humans and some chimps were thought to possess, researchers reported this week. See, there is other news. In a series of experiments, researchers at the University of Iowa in Iowa City showed that two baboons could become adept at a task that involves comprehending and identifying abstract relationships. Oh, they had them running a public... No, I'm not even going to say that. Between patterns of pictures of objects. It is the first time that a non-human, non-ape primate has been shown to have the capacity for abstract thought, psychologists said. Edward Wasserman, one of the researchers, said there was no evidence until this experiment that any animal other than humans or chimps could match one relationship to another. Baboons are part of an evolutionary fork that sent them on a different path from the one that led to chimps and humans about 30 million years ago, and they have been regretting it ever since. I know the baboons are very, very resentful of that particular evolutionary fork. The word I have, and ladies and gentlemen, I stress, it's from a reliable source, I can't tell you, of course, is that it's a reliable source who has reliable sources. It is secondhand, I'll grant you that, but it's reliable that Peter Jennings is fretting because you know why. I don't have to finish that sentence. Fox has shelved plans to launch a Fox Classics 24-hour digital network. Oh, the digital wonderland is shrinking, ladies and gentlemen. The programming was to consist of reruns of Fox series. Oh, we can't have that? Man! Citing a sluggish economy, Fox Cable Networks Group President Jeff Shell says there's very little demand right now for a new network that features Fox reruns. When would there ever? The challenging business environment arises as Fox appears to be stumbling with reruns of Ally McBeal in The Practice, which premiered in... No, FX, not Fox. FX is stumbling with reruns of Ally McBeal in The Practice. Shell recently issued an internal memo at Fox Cable, itemizing a list of cost cuts, including everything but from an overall hiring freeze to a clampdown on cell phone expense reports and advance approval of all business meals. Well, why don't you fly? Just eat on the... you can't eat on the plane. Sorry. I was trying to help the good people at Fox. So one less digital channel to beguile you. And finally, in there is, as I say, other news. The motorized red and yellow car he happily rode in the front yard as photographers snapped is there. So is the Batman costume he wore at Halloween and the sleek race car style bed in which he slept. There's also a giant poster capturing the moment federal agents knocked down a bedroom door and retrieved Alien Gonzalez. The banged up door that held back agents is there too, back on its hinges. The public can see where Alien Gonzalez played and slept while staying with his Miami relatives. Today, the former residence of the Gonzalez family makes its debut as a museum to Alien. Empty of furniture, the home is lined with glass display cases housing Alien's toys and poems dedicated to him. Hundreds of photographic collages of the boy. Inside of the display cases are his favorite toys, a replica of the USS Kitty Hawk. His bed, broken by the agents during the raid but now repaired, a school book bag. In the closet hangs his karate outfit and camouflage soldier jacket. Says Delphin Gonzalez, one of his great uncles, "We just want to preserve his memory. With all this terrorist stuff going on, we thought this would be a good time to open and give people a distraction, a relief, comfort." The nonprofit attraction is known as the United in Alien House. Site is open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each Sunday. Entry is free. Donations are welcome. And, yes, to celebrate our return to normalcy, O.J. Simpson is down in Florida, once again on trial. You can see it on Court TV.
Indian girl once said, "I'm mixing up some mini cornbread." She says, "The eagle flies, take a hiss, it buys a go.
Keep moving, keep moving."
She said, "Crackin' big bar was on a heavy job. He heard a nose, this is a come on, boat let's go.
Keep moving, keep moving." The horse was in a race, well, he could win show a place. He came in first from out of thirst to go.
Keep moving, keep moving.
It's like you've seen a cup and you don't exactly want to stop. Well, it's a motion, makes you want to go.
Keep moving, keep moving. Keep moving with the motion, it'll make you want to go. Keep moving with the motion, it'll make you want to get in your rumble and roll. A truck driver once said, he said, "I got a sleepy head." Took a pill and had the will to go.
Keep moving, keep moving.
Keep moving with the motion, that'll make you want to. Down, a clown kept on the frown, yeah.
Well, after a while, he stopped to smile. He made some money.
Where's the money?
Where's that money?
Where's the money?
You know, little Betty Lou, she had a date, but didn't want to screw. She changed her mind, slipped a dime or so.
Where's the money?
She got a dime.
Where's the money? A real good friend of mine was busy, busy, busy doing time. He got a real bank, an answer bank for some money.
Where's the money? Where's the money? Where's the money if you never, ever give me nothing?
A boxer's in a ring. He hears the bell go ding. He wins that fight with all his mind. He got some money.
Where's the money?
He got some money.
Where's the money? Where's the money? Just put it here.
Put it here.
Put it here. Let me hear my shit.
Yes, it's a regular enough feature that it now has a theme. The apology of the week this week is the United States Navy, which apologized for the supposedly homophobic inscription written on one of the bombs dropped on Afghanistan. The Navy assures interested parties that that will not happen again. Of course, everybody in this new age, everybody is trying to make adjustments, and one can only speculate how far that task may spread.
Yeah, I'll call you back.
For inspections,
I will definitely call you back.
All right, thank you.
All right, folks, I think we should get this meeting started before lunchtime gets too close. You probably know Mike Cheever from some previous work he's done for us here at Amtrak. His people came up with the name Metroliner for the Metroliner, and they did some great work, as a matter of fact, on the project to rename the 20th Century Limited before we unfortunately discontinued that product. He's with us today to discuss what I guess would have to qualify as an emergency situation, but before I get too deep into it, I'm gonna let Mike take it from here.
Thanks, Steve, and good morning to all of my colleagues there at Amtrak headquarters. First, let me say that those of us at Nomiometrics have nothing but the greatest respect for the name Amtrak, for what it represents, for its very strong brand equity, and for the legacy value of the name. You may remember in our last report, first quarter of this year, in brand recognition rankings, Amtrak was in a very respectable 27th position, hammocked between Bounty and Valvoline. And, of course, they both spend a lot more than you do to buttress their brands. So that was the good news. Now, of course, after September 11th and its aftermath, comes some of the bad news. If you open your binders there to the pink tab, you'll see the results of our confidential focus group project on the current status of the Amtrak brand.
Now, Mike, these focus groups were run when?
Sure, go ahead and interrupt, Steve. You're the chairman of the company, and I'm here in Palo Alto.
Well, I should point out that Mike is with us today via teleconference, not because he didn't want to fly in, but because his... We're all well aware here at the headquarters, as of 1 October, we no longer reimburse vendors for any transportation expenses not incurred on our system. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you, Steve. These groups were run this past Wednesday. Just for reference, that was the day that Dan Rather held his press conference. Okay, you look at the top numbers there, and I don't want to be too unnecessarily alarmist here, but... If those numbers don't make you want to overdose on something, I'd be pretty amazed. You see it very plainly in the second column over. Less than a tenth of our respondents now associate the word Amtrak to the concept of travel, pleasure, convenience, adventure. More than two-thirds relate the word, the verbal node Amtrak to to the concepts infection, powder, spores, and deadly. Now, we showed these folks the latest Amtrak TV spots, and then we reran the tests. And here's where it gets very spooky, and I'll be honest, very counterintuitive. After seeing the spots, the percentage associating Amtrak with infections, bacteria, spores, etc., it went up. Now, I like to say that I understand that as a microphenomenon, but I don't. I do think we've got a handle on the macro event here, which I'd sum up in a nutshell this way. People now are either unwilling or unable to separate the concepts Amtrak and anthrax. Our conclusion, and we're trying to err on the side of caution here, one of the two entities, either the railroad or the disease, it must change its name to survive. Our tentative recommendation, based on the difficulty of renaming a worldwide ailment, is that the corporation engineer an emergency renominalization.
Question?
Yes, Nora?
Is that a name change?
That's what I've always called you.
No, it's emergency renominalization. Mm-hmm. A name change.
Well, if you want to oversimplify, yes, it certainly would encompass a name change. But what we're talking about really is a thoroughgoing repositioning that sets the company formerly known as Amtrak on a completely different image vector from other quasi-governmental corporations.
Like the Postal Service.
Particularly the Postal Service. We want to position the railroad as a place where people wear gloves as a sign of elegance, not hysteria. Where this goes beyond my pay grade into the realm of taglines, but as a place where all the surprises are pleasant. We think that would put this company, if you will, back on the right track.
Okay, I don't know about the rest of the folks around this table, but I know that I speak for me when I say that this sounds like a higher priority item even than the track straightening project in Indiana.
Well,
Mike or Steve?
Yes, I'm Steve.
No, I know. I meant this question is for either of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I presume that you've already started generating some possible new names for the enterprise. Would that be correct?
As a matter of fact, we had a DEF CON 3 level brainstorm on Thursday to generate a name palette, which we ran by a second flight of focus groups on Friday. And you have that information at your blue tab. But if you want, I'll walk you through it.
Yeah, please.
Okay. First, just to get you on the conceptual ground with us, we felt that the old name had very strong heritage elements. The M for America, of course, which you can't do better than right now for positive numbers, and the track for, I presume, for train tracks, which describes the business in almost ideographic potency. Okay, so among our possibles, Trackman scored well among 25 to 34s, who associated it with pleasure and with video games. Ameritrain scored well. Most people, though, thought it sounded like a chain of gyms. It did sound like a chain of gyms that they wanted to visit, so there would seem to be an opportunity there. But
I think we've got our plate pretty full as it is, just running some trains and canceling others.
Uh-huh. We wanted to test some things with a more 21st century feel, and the top scorer in that phylum was Railiant. It combines, of course, rail with the suggestion of radiant or brilliant, and our groups picked up on that meaning recipe. Many folks thought it was a pun on Reliant, or a misspelling of it, and of course, either way, that's a good concept to be confused with.
As opposed to a virulent ailment endemic to livestock farms.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Finally, our legacy-type names tried to reassert history, heritage, as properties that we can claim.
This would be kind of the opposite of the modern approach?
Mm-hmm. I think it's choice. The North American Railroad Works was our top scorer here. Although I would point out the danger area that was sort of exemplified by one African-American woman in our late afternoon group who said she thought it was probably the name of a restaurant that serves overpriced pizza and has a lot of railroad stuff on the walls.
Nora.
Yes, I'm going to go out on a limb here and express an opinion, basically because I'm about to go on maternity leave anyway, but I don't think any of these
renominalizations.
Thank you. Really solve our problem.
Well, they solve our problem of scaring people.
Well, right, but...
Nora, I can't see you, but you don't sound pregnant to me. But yes, we agree with you. We ended up concluding that the ideographic nature of Amtrak was something that we wanted to emulate. So, as you can see on the screen, we took the liberty of designing a typeface for this one. We came out with a very, very strong consensus in favor of American choo-choo. It makes people smile, which is no small thing these days. It carries warm, nostalgic colors, yet it's very specific. No one has any doubt about the business that a company named American choo-choo is in. It's patriotic. That's why we gave the first word the red, white, and blue treatment, and then the second half, this is just a rough rendering, but as you can see, the words, they look like puffs of smoke.
Mike, that didn't scare people?
We would back down from that a little in the final execution, yes, but overall, we think it's very strong, and we ask for immediate approval to initiate the pre-renominalization process.
American choo-choo.
Yes, sir.
Mike, I'm taking the temperature of the room here, and I think that we think that this is something that we want to think about over lunch. Why don't we just keep the video connection open and...
And I'll just sit here and let the camera watch me get my email. All right, fine.
Okay, let's say we'll continue this in 2 hours,
okay,
huh?
Great.
Good dad, what do you do?
It's knocking off my diamond wig, knocking me down onto the platinum ground. Woke up in a beautiful dream, alone. I got hit by a mink car, hit by a mink car, driven by a guitar. And the silver chauffeur says that it's all in your head when you're 24 karat dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the representatives of the White House met with producers and leaders of the television industry this week to explore ways of deploying the entertainment industry in the war against terrorism. Their first significant contact with the Bush administration. Leslie Moonves, who believes relevance is good when appropriate, said the whole idea was a throwback. Frank Capra was mentioned often in the meeting, the idea that Hollywood has historically helped spread the message. It really was a fact-finding session, he said, trying to be relevant or appropriate. Neither side offered many specific ideas during the two-hour meeting, according to participants. Some said it wasn't clear if the White House was actively seeking Hollywood's help or merely offering assistance to whatever the entertainment industry wanted to do. The lack of clarity left some at the meeting frustrated. It's incumbent on them to get specific and concrete, according to Fox Entertainment Group Chairman Sandy Grushow. At this point, it's amorphous. Hey, good word, Sandy. It's pretty obvious they came to Hollywood with more questions than answers. Unquote Sandy Grushow. Maybe the first time I felt sorry for the White House. CBS has rescheduled the Emmys, trying attempt number three, November 4th at the Schubert Theater, moving it from the Shrine Auditorium, which means a lot of people will have to be disinvited since the capacity shrinks from 6,000 to 1,800. And, of course, the Emmys will, in line with previous plans for the first two canceled iterations of it this year, will be dispensing with the red carpet and will overall have a much less glamorous approach, don't you know?
From the, what would you call this, the forecourt? From the forecourt of the Sanbrae Pharmacy in Beverly Hills, where Cipro is always in stock. This is Strictly from Blackwell. I am Blackwell. And I know, it is very, very rough for all of us. But I think for the people in the creative professions, this period of time may, I don't know, be easier. What do you think? Because we always have our hearts out there where people can pick at them. And now everybody feels like this. I think it is a time of greater empathy and understanding and unity, yes, because America does stand most united when it stands up for the Star Spangled Banner and then sits down again. We have two wonderful guests who will bring us great, great insight in these times when who knows what is going to be in fashion, when, and who even cares. But maybe we do. Maybe we should. Joan Rivers, who was such an old friend that she is new again, is here with us. And Joan is here with us today because she's not somewhere else. I guess that's true of anyone, but especially you, Joan.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks, Mr. V. It's, you know, it's weird not to be at the Emmys and to know that they're doing an Emmys, but it's not the Emmys.
No.
And it shouldn't be. I'm not saying that.
No.
And so it's great to be with you. And love for Melissa.
She is becoming such a wondrous young lady. We're loving watching the becoming. Joan, I don't want to tiptoe around this. I don't want to step right into the middle of it.
I know.
But did you quit from the Emmy show, the Emmy show pre-show? Oh, were you fired?
Look, I don't want to point fingers. I don't want to have fingers pointed at me.
No.
I don't think anybody wanted to do normal.
No.
Here they are, and look who they're wearing, and oh my God, I cannot believe her.
Who?
Show.
Oh, yeah.
Especially E. I think we could have done
a more
dignified,
credible
analysis of what people were wearing.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I love not being at the red carpet when so many people aren't going to be on the red carpet.
I'd be
sitting there with Melissa, betting on who's going to fall off the zone first.
It was going to be me. Joan, do you feel that the Emmys are right in saying, come dressed for business, but not for a celebration? Is it right to be doing business at a time like this?
Look. It is in bad taste right now to talk about bad taste.
Interesting.
That's what's killing me. I think that we want to return to normal. The president keeps saying, let's return to normal.
Incredible.
What's more normal than laughing at stars?
Incredible you should say that, Joan. And we want to get back to that because, to me, if we have not got the ability to be interested in the people who are our royalty and set the tone for us, then maybe the enemy has won and made us more like him or her. David Schlesinger is with us.
Hello, Mr. B.
He has done so much for the city of and the people of Beverly Hills over the years, and he's doing so much more. Now, David, I think you've found your mission. I think
I know you said that.
All of the rest of the publications that you've done from Beverly Hills, this and that, the Beverly Hills Find It Here, have just been a dress rehearsal for now.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad title for an autobiography, dress rehearsal for now.
Dress rehearsal.
Mr. B, I think you're right.
Good.
What we're doing now, you know, we made our reputation.
I know.
Reporting on the wonderful parties and openings.
Everything.
The restaurants, the galleries.
Yeah.
The fabulous benefits.
The openings.
The openings that made up the social life of the world's most glamorous city, Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And reporting them, down the middle, negatives.
No.
But I think that what we're doing now with Beverly Hills 911.
Incredible.
That was interesting. Yeah. This is important. And it feels so, so good to be doing something that benefits all of the people of Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills. David, you put your point right on the nail of the head of it.
Thank you.
We are now in a different time because the woman and her family do not want, in a situation like this, to be running down and getting in line at Costco.
I agree with
you. They want to know where the best gas masks are where the best stocks of what preventatives and preventives and preventatives are. And this is what you are doing, isn't it?
Yeah. We're being your one-stop resource for everything you might think you need in the current environment.
We
just feel that, before you buy batteries, before you buy a portable radio,
water,
before you get antidotes or any kind of protective clothing, we should be your resource of first consultation. And I just think that's a great position to be in.
Yeah.
And for once, I can tell you that the phones are ringing off the hook in the advertising department, which is, of course,
unbelievable.
Your bedroom.
Joan, what do you think? Will you be on the red carpet when the Globes come around again?
I from your mouth to E's ears. But I think we have to, not just talk about ourselves as much fun as that is, but, a lot of people have been hurt by this.
Yeah.
Restaurants, caterers,
Unbelievable.
Dry cleaners, wonderful people at the dry cleaners who do such a wonderful job. What are they going to clean after this Emmys, Mr. Blackwell?
No.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
They're going to clean out their own cupboards. That's what's going on.
No.
So we have to get back to show business because it is an important part of our economy. It is not just fun and games.
No, it's
dollars and cents in the bank. Mr. B,
and it's pain.
And I ask you this question, which I thought of last night.
Okay, good.
What if they gave a sale at Lohman's and nobody came?
Unbelievable. Something we're going to have to make time to think about. David.
That's amazing.
The $100,000 party that people spend half an hour at and leave.
Mm-hmm.
The era is over. This is gone. This is a quote from the newspaper.
I read that.
Is the concept of the A party obsoleted?
I don't know, Mr. B. I'll tell you, we don't have room. We are so busy cataloging.
I know.
Where you can get the best gas masks and the best gloves and the best duct tape.
Yeah.
You know, just because when you're in this community and in this
world.
Wonderful, wonderful world of Beverly Hills, as long as you and I have been, Mr. B. You know one thing. Nothing is a commodity.
No.
Everything has a price.
Yeah.
And the price of nothing is worth aggravation.
Okay.
So
there's three things.
We have a mission, as you said earlier, and the parties just, God love them.
I know.
I'd love to be back in the business of reporting the positives about parties
of
and
course.
Openings and galleries, and maybe one day when we've won this war, I will.
Okay.
But right now, I'm hearing the call, Mr. B, and I'm having a great time answering it.
Do you want to go now?
No, I'm fine.
Oh. Can I just say, I'm not at war with E.
No.
I want everybody to know that.
Okay, no.
But I do believe that by the time of the Globes, I would love, and Melissa would love, to be back on the red carpet
and
making our little fun and having our way with celebrities for any network except the Al-Qaeda network. Although with my agent.
No. You know, Joan, and David Scaparelli said it, I believe, the first casualty of war is fashion. We hope that is not true. We hope we will live in a world where it's safe to care. We must vanish. They need the forecourt cleared so they can start filling the prescriptions. David, best of luck at Beverly Hills 911. Joan, we will see you on the carpet.
I know
this. I feel this. Mm-hmm. I believe this. Next time, the future of Casual Friday is past. Till then, Strictly from Blackwell. Bye-bye.
Driving, look for a poster of mine. It celebrates the 100th birthday of America's oil industry.
I will be very sure to do that, Norman. Thanks for dropping by. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to put the cap on this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns, and this is all speculative blather that I'm mouthing now. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet at 7.415 megahertz, on XM satellite radio in your car in your home. It costs money. That's the only thing. But everything costs money. What are you going to do? And on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like relevance being appropriate if you'd agree to join me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. That offer of a free CD of highlights of the last 4 weeks of Le Show applies to people living in Philadelphia and any place else where Le Show has been preempted. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Okay, just blue skying here. Maybe he's a widower, and she just runs a you know, like a lunch stand in the neighborhood, not really affected by the tragedy. All right, I'm just thinking out loud here. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.